to episode 31 of the Girl Unlimited podcast, the podcast dedicated to seeing you break barriers by living fully, loving abundantly, and being all you were created to be. It's a nice sunny day here in my neck of the woods, and you can probably tell from my voice that I am obviously loving it. I am really happy. When there is sun, you know your girl becomes a happy bunny. This time last week, the family and I were in Malaga, Spain, and what a beautiful slice of God's earth that is. It was very reminiscent of the Nigeria I grew up in, and I can still see the glee on my children's faces seeing palm trees and a ceiling fan for the first time ever. That just sounded weird to me, but then again, their childhood has been very different from mine. We did a couple of video journaling. Well, I did a couple of video journaling to commemorate the time. And my daughter did a vlog. It was very similar to one that we did a few years back. And we wanted her to do it again, where she took the person watching or the audience round the Airbnb or the accommodation that we were in to show the different parts and stuff. And we liked it the last time she did it, so we asked her to do it again. This is not likely going to be placed anywhere on social media or anything, but for us, it was important to commemorate the time that we had spent there. It's so obvious that we are not a film and camera media type family because it was a struggle. While people take pics for the gram, we take pics to lock in the memory. Now, that's not saying taking pics for Instagram is a bad thing. Please don't get me wrong. Actually, when I think about it, it can work for both. It can work for social media purposes and as a memory bank. It's just that we as a family don't think of Instagram at all when we are making picture or video decisions. Maybe we should. What do you reckon? Anyways, next stop this weekend is a quick couple of days in Greece with the husband. And I can share this openly now because I know he'll probably not listen to this episode before then. And I say this because it's a birthday surprise. So he isn't aware he won't be home this weekend. And I mean, the kids are all in on the secret. So it's not like it's something I have kept solely to myself. That would have been very impossible. And I'm really, really looking forward to it because he truly, truly deserves a break. And he's a great guy. He really takes care of us. He works really hard. And I'm looking forward to him just unwinding a little bit this weekend. After that, I think we'll be giving our passports a little break and probably focus on things to do locally. There's so much to see here in Great Britain, and I feel it's high time we explored a few of those not so hidden gems that are local and practically at our doorstep, and maybe a little further afield, but local nonetheless. And then maybe we could pick up the whole travel thing again in September, October, when the summer months are over. Spain was hot. I mean, it was like between 22 to 24 degrees, and that was in May. I can't imagine what it's like in July, August. And honestly, I am very, very happy about the fact that we'll be avoiding all the really high prices when children are off school. So we're going to stay put at home. Well, home being in Great Britain. And let's see what happens after the summer break or after the summer holidays. So, on to today's episode. I recently read a social media post on how a lot of failed music artists were mostly women. Women who were probably even more talented than their male counterparts. But life happens, right? And they end up falling behind, or at least feeling like they are behind. In fact, one particular commenter who I can only assume is a music producer talked about losing count of the number of women who had met him to discuss, in inverted commas, reviving their music careers. Now, I know this post was focusing mostly on women in music, but it got me thinking about women in general from different fields with different interests. Women that I personally know as well who feel behind in their lives. I have been there myself, and I know how this feeling literally messes with your motivation and impacts your ability to move forward. So for the next few minutes or so, this is what we'll be discussing in today's solo episode. What do you do when you feel like you're behind in life? My name is T. Ari, and you're listening to the Girl Unlimited. Start by saying this. You are not alone. Don't think for one moment that how you're feeling is exclusive to you alone. So many people are experiencing this, and they are experiencing it for a plethora of reasons. Secondly, you can stop feeling this way, which is a great thing to know because it means that you are not going to be stuck in that loop. Yes, it's going to take a little work, but trust me, you can do it. If I could do it, then you could do it. I am one of those people that always feels like I am always in my feelings and in my head. And if I could get past it, which is obviously the reason I'm sharing it now, then I am 100% confident that you can. One thing I've noticed is that this feeling has nothing to do with age. Yes, there are people who, you know, once they hit the age of 40, and I will be sharing age scenario not too long from now about this age 40 thing. You know, people talk about hitting midlife crisis and things like that. So 40 is usually a very significant age. But I know from personal experience that you can actually feel this way at a much younger age. In my case, for instance, I somehow had it in my psyche that there were certain things I should have achieved by age 26. And when that didn't happen, I felt like I was falling behind. Why I picked 26, I'm not entirely sure. I have a feeling it had something to do with this instance where I was in this changing room. So I'd just gone for a swim and I was in this changing room with a bunch of other women who were obviously older than I was. I think I was about 18 at the time, maybe younger, I can't remember now. And we talked about our age. I don't know why we did that, but we talked about our age, and they talked about being 26, and I obviously was still a teenager, and they just seemed so cool. And I think they even called me a baby, if I'm not mistaken. And something in me for some reason shifted, obviously, which is why I still remember the story. And I kind of felt like I would have everything that I desire, or that I should have everything that I desire by the time I hit the age of 26. And obviously, all the things I was hoping to achieve didn't happen. So I kind of started feeling from that point on that I was behind in my life. Oh, and then how about studying law, which you guys, if you've been listening to the podcast, know I studied law in the university. And then choosing not to practice, and then seeing my former colleagues make progress in their law degrees, or sorry, their law careers, and feeling left behind. This might be you too. You feel behind either due to personal expectations like I did. So personal expectations that you set, not that anybody else set those expectations. Or because of societal expectations that you feel you aren't meeting. Truth is, most people have found themselves here at some point or the other. And I can tell you categorically, from experience, like I've shared already, that it takes some intentional mind practices to stop feeling this way. Yes, folks, this feeling of being behind is mostly happening in your mind. And the funny thing is, age doesn't even factor in. I just told you about the story of when I was 26. I heard this other story by some other YouTuber. I can't remember his name now. And he was talking about starting a blog at age, I think he started his blog at age 21. And he had been struggling for 1 year and had made no money. And then he stumbles on this other kid who had started making money from his podcast. I think he was, sorry, not his podcast, his blog. And he had been blogging from maybe, I think the guy was about 18 and he had been blogging since he was 16 or something like that. And he felt that at 21 that, oh, if only I had started blogging at age 16. Come on, even at 21, he was still really young. And in my case, this age 26 thing, I thought I should be earning at least six figures by the time I hit 26. And that didn't happen. But the questions to be asking here really is, if you feel behind, the question is, behind who? And who or what are we comparing with? What is the standard of measure? Is it society? Is it family? Your personal drive? Your personal ambition? So what I've found is this. It all boils down to perspective. In other words, where you think you should be right now is really a product of your mindset. That's why for you to stop feeling behind, the first thing I suggest you do is change your perspective. Yeah, easier said than done, I know. And I can assure you that it isn't going to go away or happen immediately. Plus, even when you begin to change, you might not even notice those changes occurring. But change your perspective, you must. And to change your perspective means to think differently in order to see differently. Now, here's how I suggest you go about it. Be thankful for the journey so far. I mean, intentionally be grateful for your journey so far. I call this count your blessings, name them one by one type of strategy. I know it's from the popular hymn. You probably know count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Yeah, count your blessings and name them one by one. Itemize them, in other words. So there were numerous starts and stops and false beginnings and dead ends. So what? Imagine this scenario with me for a minute. You remember when I said that this age 40 seems to be a really significant one? So let's assume that you are 40. It's taken you an extra 10 years to become a counselor, a dream you've had forever, right? So you rob yourself of enjoying the moment you finally achieve that dream. Why? Because the lady in the other room received her counseling certificate 10 years ago. And from your perspective, that was the right time to be achieving this goal. But let me ask you, do you know the stats of people who see their dreams fulfilled? Listen, the figures are abysmal. Perhaps you have probably forgotten that at the time this other lady got her degree and started practicing, you were raising strong, resilient, courageous children. When you look at it from that perspective, were those really wasted years? I think not. So here's a practical step to counting your many blessings daily. Those of you who know me well probably know what I'm about to suggest. Yes, journaling. Okay, so I know journaling is not everyone's cup of tea, but humor me for a second. If you would just spend a couple of minutes a day, 5 to 7 minutes, if even that, adding this little piece, I'm not telling you to go full-fledged into journaling here. I'm saying keep some sort of gratitude document. Let's not call it a journal or a diary, but a document. Add this to your morning routine if you have one. And if you don't have one, then I strongly recommend that you have one. But that's a different matter and something that we could discuss some other time, okay? But have something that you can write on and just itemize what you're grateful for. Some people I know even keep a separate gratitude journal. So even those who journal, that is, they keep a separate journal. So every morning or evening, whatever works for you, write down at least three things that you are grateful for, more if you can. And here's a little tip you'll probably not find anywhere. And if you do, let me know about it, okay? Write something from the past that you're grateful for. That will keep you grounded. Write something from your present that you're grateful for. That will keep your keep you mindful of your present, obviously. And then something in the future that you are hoping for, but you are already grateful that it will happen. So imagine someone gave you a check for £1 million. You haven't seen that money in cash, but the person has given you a check. What do you say to the person? You will say thank you, wouldn't you? Even before seeing the money. Or if a person maybe didn't even give you a check, just told you that this was what he was going to do, you're not going to wait until you see the money in your account to say thank you. You're going to say thank you there and then, wouldn't you? So it's the same type of mindset in this particular case. And thanking for the future not only keeps you dreaming, but keeps you in faith. If you are writing more than three, divide them as you wish. For me personally, if I write at least 10, so I could dedicate three to the past, three to the present, and then four to the future. Sometimes it is six to the future and then one or two to the past. And however, just divide it as you wish. But think about the past, the present, and the future. Now, I know even after saying this, some people are still averse to this whole writing thing. So at least do this, okay? Close your eyes and think the things that you are grateful for and really, really feel like you are in that moment. Sometimes there are times, I know this probably sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but there are times when I really don't feel like writing or I don't feel like writing my gratitude. At sometimes I just close my eyes and I imagine those things I'm grateful for. Something as little as my children's smiles. And I really imagine it. I close my eyes and I really imagine it. And I find myself smiling as my heart is filled with joy and filled with gratitude for them. Now, when is the right time to get into this practice? And like I said, it has to be intentional. If it means scheduling it, if it means setting a reminder every day, it doesn't have to take long. Like I said, 5 minutes is literally all you need. And if you, I'm leaving you with no excuses. If you don't want to write, then at least think. And for me, I find early mornings before my household is up or late evenings when everyone is in bed works the best for me. So find what works for you. It might be a couple of minutes during your lunch break from work. I remember when I used to do there was a 9-to-5 I did years ago. And for my lunch break was 1 hour. I would spend the first 30 minutes eating and then the remaining 30 minutes going on a walk if the weather was nice. And during that 30-minute walk, I will do my meditating, I'll do my thinking, I'll do some praying. In this particular case, quality far outweighs quantity. Now, the second thing I suggest you do is quite similar to the first, but with a focus on achievements, no matter how little that achievement is. What have you achieved in all the years you were not doing the thing you feel behinding? For some women, they were raising babies, and I personally don't know anyone who will call good parenting a walk in the park. For some women, it is taking care of aged parents. Just think of the joy you brought to your parents in all the years you dedicated to them. For others, they went and did other things, different jobs, different careers, honed different skills. For others, they simply just got more mature. They grew up. Life is never just linear. All the life that has happened to you before this moment hasn't been placed in different compartments. They intertwine and interrelate, and you will find that this skill works with that aspect of your dream, and that experience you had previously is helping you manage this other aspect of your dream. That's what real life looks like. And if you don't remember anything I say to you today, remember this. The first isn't always the fastest. The fact that these other runners started before you doesn't mean that they will get to the finish line before you do. And who cares who gets to the finish line first anyway? This race is called life. What matters really is not who started or who finished first, but who finished. Because so many don't finish. I'll give you an example. My daughter was so scared of water, I couldn't get her into the pool till she was like 8 years old or so. She wouldn't even put her face in water. Her brother, on the other hand, started swimming lessons when he was just 4 years old. Her younger brother started swimming lessons when he was just 4 years old. They pretty much started at the same time, he being four, she being eight, at the same stage, not in the same class, because I thought that would be too much for her. But 4 years later, they're both 8 and 12 respectively now, and she is three stages ahead of him and is even now considering synchronized swimming. What could be the reason that happened? Perhaps because she was just older, so she understood instruction, or she accepted instruction a lot easier than he did. So first, he's not always the fastest. My last point, which I've kind of alluded to already, is stop the comparison. Oh my God, if I could say this over and over and over and over again, this is really the crux of why people feel that they are behind, is because they are comparing themselves with other people. Right now, please stop it. And I know this plague is further compounded with this age of social media that we're in. Oh, the good old social media. We can't live with it. We can't live without it. Comparing our reality with other people's polished highlights. All it does is just robs you of the strength and motivation you need to move forward. It's even harder when you have chosen a much different path to others, like us who have chosen to home educate our children. Sometimes we lie to ourselves that we just want to check what somebody else is doing, when in reality, you want to just see how they're doing in comparison to you. Now, am I telling you not to check out other people and see what they're doing? Absolutely not. There is a place for that, I believe. But this is where intentionality comes in. And I know I'm saying this intentionality a lot because a lot of us live on autopilot. And when we live on autopilot, we allow all sorts of things come in and go out when we should be more conscious and more cautious of what we allow into our spaces. You have to be more disciplined with how much time you choose to dedicate to this checking out activity. That might mean spending less and less time on social media or going cold turkey and detoxing for a while and taking those frequent breaks. I mean, those frequent holidays, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, a whole month off social media. Doesn't that just feel like a relief? Like you can just heave a sigh of relief? I'd like to recommend a book to you. It's called Making Time. I can't remember the names of the authors, but I will place the link to the book in the show notes. So make sure you check it out. It is such a beautiful book that really, really gets very practical. And it's a very interesting format. The book is written in a very interesting format, very playful, very interesting, very out of the ordinary. So I think you will enjoy it. But it's still showing and sharing really, really good points on how to manage your time better, especially when you're trying to dedicate time to certain things that are more important to you. But what if I use social media for my work? This was my excuse for ages, so I get this one. But here are the things I personally do. I make use of the Facebook scheduling tool where I can. There are third-party providers you can use to do this too, right? I dedicate 15 minutes to respond to comments and or engage in other people's chats or other people's posts. And because I'm also in a lot of Facebook groups and stuff, I set the Facebook timer to 45 minutes. So I'm sure you can find this thing, this tool in settings, in Facebook settings. And I set mine to 45 minutes and it always indicates to me when my time is up. And at that point, I have a choice to either continue, and I will if I'm doing something productive, or close the app if I'm not doing anything productive or I'm supposed to be sleeping and I'm scrolling. I'll be honest, I don't always close the app when I'm told to do so. Sometimes it's because I am procrastinating on doing something I know I should be doing at that time, or I'm simply just enjoying the poison that I'm looking at. But at least I have a choice. We all have a choice. Now, if you don't feel inclined to do any of the things I've just suggested, that's fine, but do check in with yourself and know how you're feeling. There were times in the past I would scroll for 2 hours at a go and then find myself a little down for the rest of the day. This happened to me a lot, actually, at some point in my life, until I traced the cause back to social media. So when you find that you're starting to feel blah about yourself, then maybe that's the time to go on a social media holiday. So avoiding triggers online might be easy, but what about offline? Friends calling you to boast? How about having to attend gatherings where family and friends or colleagues share their achievements? I suggest exposing yourself to these types of environments as rarely as possible. You might not be able to avoid them completely. None of us can. But you can certainly reduce your exposure to them. Now, it will be great if just leaving toxic environments was enough, but most of the time it hardly is. And I'm sure you want to get to the point where you hear about somebody's achievements and you don't go on a jealousy rampage, and or you don't feel down in yourself every time you hear someone share their good news. You want to be genuinely happy for them. So here's what I suggest with regards to that. Focus. You have to intentionally keep your eye on the prize, the end goal, what you're trying to achieve. Now, I personally love athletics, especially running. When you see the runners take their positions, you hardly see them look to the left or the right. They are in the zone, completely focused, complete concentration. And when that whistle blows and they start running, you hardly see them look to the left or the right. Eyes are always on the finish line. That, my friends, is how you get to the end. If you run always looking to the left or to the right or looking up or down, you'll not only get distracted, but you will slow yourself down. Now, I've shared quite a bit there, which I'm hoping you found useful, but I have just one more thing to add before I end today's episode. My oldest son loves to argue. Before accepting any theory or any school of thought, he loves to poke holes in that theory to test its resilience. And to do this, he loves to play devil's advocate. So here I am playing devil's advocate, right? So say there is truth to how you feel and that you are really behind. What good does it do you to dwell on it? I mean, really. You can't go back. So what do you do? The way I see it, since you can't go back, I feel the best thing that you can do is to focus on the next best time, which is now. But I would argue that a much better and definitely a more positive approach to looking at it is to trust that the timing of your life is exactly how it should have been. And that you, my friend, are on time. You are on time for you. This is your right time. It's like my name, Tosegene. It means this is my time. And I've always believed that as long as I have breath in my lungs and I see a brand new day, that new day is my time renewed. So I say, while it's still today, sis, set those goals, write them down, and start moving. If you enjoyed today's episode, do write to me and let me know what impacted you the most. I'm at girlunlimited1@gmail.com. So that's girl, the word girl, the word unlimited, and then the number one, all one word, at gmail.com. Or message me on Instagram. I'm at @TRETEARI_girlunlimited. Unlimited as UNLTD. And don't forget to share with whoever you feel needs to hear this as well. That goes a long way to helping us look good in the face of the algorithms. And until next time, remember, you are this exceptionally unique person with a God-given purpose and unlimited potential. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
You think that nothing will become of me, that I'll never come to anything but you couldn't see what I see when I